we are going to resume our meeting. And just as an informational item, if anybody is here today for public comment is not on today's agenda. It is on tomorrow's agenda. And I believe it's in the afternoon.
Well, it depends. How fast we go.
Public forum.
It's item
37. It's item 37. But it will not be today. Okay. This is the time and place for the continuation of a public hearing to consider issuance of an NPDES permit to the City of Morro Bay and Cayuca Sanitary District to discharge wastewater treated to modified secondary standards in accordance with Clean Water Act Section 301 sub H. This is a joint hearing with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Alexis Strauss, to my right, Director of the Water Division of US EPA, and I are the joint hearing officers for this hearing. This hearing began on May 11, 2006. The Water Board continued the hearing to provide an opportunity to augment the record with additional information on the impact of the discharge on endangered species. Since that time, US EPA has issued a biological evaluation supporting the continuation of the Section 301 sub H waiver, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has concurred with US EPA's biological evaluation. The Water Board noticed the continued hearing and specifically allowed additional comments on the new information and revisions proposed in the tentative permit since the May 11, 2006 meeting. Excuse me. Note that the purpose of this hearing is to consider and take testimony on the new information and revisions, and is not an opportunity to repeat previous testimony. All Water Board members present today were present at the previous meeting and are familiar with the record for this matter. Designated parties are as follows: the City of Morro Bay, the Cayuca Sanitary District, and NRDC. Regional Board staff will make a presentation. Morro Bay and Cayucas have been granted 40 minutes for their presentation. NRDC has not requested additional time for their presentation. The chair may modify these procedures and time allocations as needed. All other parties are interested persons and shall limit their comments to 3 minutes each. Thank you. Ms. Strauss, did you have any comments that you'd like to make?
I didn't press the button. Good morning. I'm glad to be with you. We've worked on this for a very long time together, and I appreciate people's sustained commitment to this important topic. I wanted to point out what I think the process would be from this point forward, given that we have somewhat unusually a joint state and federal process. Depending upon what the board may choose to do today, it is possible that if the board were to approve the actions before it, the permit and the settlement agreement, that that matter would then go before the California Coastal Commission when it meets in Oceanside January 7th, 8th, and 9th. I'm not sure on which of those days as yet, since they haven't set the agenda. If the Coastal Commission were to give a consistency determination at that meeting in January, EPA would then be in a position to make a final decision on the 301H variance, and the matter would proceed as currently before you. So that's the process that I see before me. If you do have questions, I urge you to let me know. You can also call me or email me, and I'd be happy to give you that contact information. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Mr. Briggs, should we start with our staff report?
Yes, our staff person who has worked on this item is David Licaro, and assisting him are his colleagues Burton Chadwick with the yellow tie there, and then seated at the table with David is Harvey Packard. So, David Licaro. Pardon me? Oh, right, on the telephone.
Right, I want to mention, this is Harvey Packard, that Steve Henry of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is on the phone in case there are questions.
And what is his name?
Steve Henry.
Okay.
Can you hear us, Steve?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks for being with us, Steve.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person.
Okay, I'll go ahead and get started. Good morning, Ms. Strauss, Chairman Young, members of the board. My name is David Licaro. I work for the Point Source Group, Wastewater Compliance Unit. Very pleased to present this item to you, as it's been a culmination of many years for my colleagues here at the Water Board, the dischargers, as well as other interested members of the public. So today I'm recommending the approval of the revised modified MPDS permit for Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Treatment Plant, as well as an updated settlement agreement for this facility upgrades. I want to clarify today, and obviously Chair Young, you had mentioned that in your opening statements, that this is a continuation joint hearing of May 11, 2006. So a majority of the permit that you have in front of you was considered at great lengths at the May 06 meeting. So most of the Water Board members here today were also present at that meeting. They provided ample opportunity for public comment, and Water Board members at the time decided to continue the hearing to request additional information, and we'll get into that additional information here in the next few slides. But before I get into that, I want to just go through the wastewater treatment plant just for to refresh your memories. The city of Morro Bay and Cayucas Sanitary District, whom I'll refer to as the discharger, jointly own the Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Treatment Plant. The facility is designed to treat an annual average flow of 2.06 million gallons a day. According to the 2007 annual report, the facility received an annual average of 1.9 million gallons a day. So that wastewater goes into the headworks, from the headworks into the aerated grit chamber, then into the primary clarifiers, and then it goes into the secondary treatment process, trickling filters. From that point, it goes to a solids contact chamber, close to an activated sludge type process, and then the secondary clarifier. From that point, it goes to the chlorine contact chamber, where the wastewater, the treated wastewater, is disinfected. And at that point, it goes to Estero Bay through a extends through approximately 4,400 foot outfall, discharges in about 50 feet of water, and the facility's dilution ratio is 133 parts of seawater to one part of effluent. So according to staff, all the wastewater is primary treated, and a majority of the wastewater goes through secondary treatment. The only time that wastewater does not receive full secondary treatment is when the during peak flow situations, for example, heavy tourism or wet weather events. So the blending occurs when peak flows have the potential to overload the plant or some of the facilities in the wastewater plant, and the discharger has to open a valve to blend primary treated water with secondary water. But even during peak flow situations, the blend only occurs for a few hours in order to reduce the hydraulic loading of the plant. In fact, I just received some information this week that the discharger blends a total of 195, at least during this last year. It was 195 hours for that year, and that's out of 8,760 hours. So if you look at it percentage-wise, you're looking at approximately 98% of all wastewater that comes into Morro Bay treatment plant that has secondary treatment. However, due to the blend of primary and secondary, that's why we're here today, it operates under a 301H modified MPDS permit. So there's you can see the blending valve in the circle there, and the two primary clarifiers will then go into that blending, and then it'll go directly to the chlorine contact chamber. Moving on very quickly here, this is the solids handling. There's three anaerobic digesters, one of which I think is not operating right now. Then goes to sludge drying beds, and then they have an on-site solids composting where they're able to produce soil amendments. Let's move away from the facility description and get it into the regulatory history. This is important to discuss as it provides a little bit of information as to why we're here today. A detailed discussion of the discharge's regulatory history is found on page 5 of the fact sheet of the order there. But today I'm just going to go over some of the highlights. So the discharger is currently regulated by order number 9815, which expired March of 2004. So in anticipation of the reissuance of a permit, of course, they submitted a report of waste discharge. Part of that application considered a 9.5-year conversion schedule to upgrade the facility. Water board staff at the time found that the conversion schedule that was proposed was reasonable. However, after much opposition to the upgrade schedule by members of the public, the discharger requested additional time to look at the reduction of that, or the reduction in length of upgrade. Before the May 2006 meeting, before that, we granted them an administrative extension in order for them to go ahead and revise that schedule. Before the May 2006 meeting, they went ahead and agreed to an expedited schedule of 8.5 years. And this conversion schedule, this 8.5 years, is what's being discussed today. It's the same as what it was in 2006. Moving on here, so obviously May 06 was when we originally recommended the proposed MPDS permit in front of the board. But to summarize, I'll just hit more of the larger points here. The hearing revolved around the facility's current treatment level and expected here in the future, and the facility's conversion schedule, and potential impacts to endangered species that are located within the vicinity of the discharge. Mainly the discussion was about domoic acid and Toxoplasma gondii, T. gondii, if you remember, and those impacts to the sea otter. So according to the May 2006 transcripts, water board members were undecided about reissuing the permit at the time. And furthermore, they continued the hearing to request more information. And as you said, Chair Young, this was the biological evaluation that was developed by US EPA, as well as the consultation or concurrence by US Fish and Wildlife. So this additional information, or new information as I'll refer to it, was, as you see here, the biological evaluation, not information, but it did have a lot of information in it. And then, of course, the concurrence letter by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So the biological evaluation, of course, evaluated adverse effects on endangered species within the vicinity of the discharge. And it focused primarily on the brown pelican and the southern sea otter. And we'll get into the details in the next slide. I can't say enough that really to clarify the premise of today's hearing is to consider and accept this new or additional information and the changes to the proposed permit and the settlement agreement. A majority of the MPDS permit elements that you, such as effluent limits and monitoring reporting program, were already heard and discussed at the May 06 meeting. Let's get into the specifics. So, a biological evaluation that was developed by US EPA is required by Section 7 of the Endangered Species Act, at least the consultation from US Fish and Wildlife. The US EPA developed and released this document around September 2007, and it assessed the likely adverse effects on two endangered species. As I stated before, it was a brown pelican, southern sea otter. It elaborated greatly on the scientific information and data for the potential sea otter disease and mortality. The US EPA determined that there were no studies or data that supported that the continued discharge from Morro Bay Cayucas treatment plant would have adverse effects on the brown pelican or the southern sea otter. Furthermore, specific to the otter, there was no scientific evidence that the subject discharge contributed domoic acid. And if you'll remember, domoic acid occurs when nutrients promote a toxic algal bloom, essentially. And these effects sea otters basically by bioaccumulation from filter feeding animals. And of course, the sea otters will eat them and get sick. So in addition, there was no valid scientific methods to rapidly detect T. gondii in wastewater. According to the biological evaluation, scientific validation is still in process and it could take some time to complete. There is some scientific uncertainty as to the amount of T. gondii in the subject wastewater discharge. So if you remember Toxoplasma gondii affects neurological and physical functions of the sea otter, leading to vulnerability and mortality in the wild. And most of the cysts occur in digestive tracts of cats or felines. Lastly, US EPA noted that the continued discharge couldn't be ruled out, and therefore they proposed three conservation measures that you'll see here: a cat litter public education outreach program, nutrient monitoring, and of course a continuation to upgrade. And I quote, at least full secondary and tertiary treatment by 2014. And we'll get into the discussion of that as well. So as I said before, the biological evaluation was sent for consultation by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on December 21st, 2007. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife concurred, stating, we concur with your determination that the proposed project is not likely to adversely affect the brown pelican or southern sea otter. Of course, within the letter that was sent, there were some concerns with endangered species located within the vicinity of the discharge, but the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service explained within the letter that the discharger's policy decision to upgrade the facility to provide tertiary treatment would, quote, have significant potential to minimize the concerns regarding the effects on the sea otter. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife also recognized that there were no scientific methodologies or validated scientific methodologies to gather data to identify these impacts. So this new information was incorporated into the draft permit and, of course, the proposed permit that you have in front of you today. On September 4th, 2008, I went ahead and we released the draft order for public comment. The public notice was specific in requesting comments only on this new information, the biological evaluation and the concurrence letter. Staff received formal comments from Natural Resources Defense Council, the Otter Project, of course, the discharger, marine research specialists, and the Surf Rider Foundation. And, Natural Resources Defense Council submitted comments on the behalf of Sierra Club, Defenders of Wildlife, Surf Rider, and of course themselves. In summary, a majority of the public comments they submitted comments regarding the review of the settlement agreement, explaining that that it would be difficult to make a meaningful review of the order if the settlement agreement was not available during the public comment period. In all honesty, the settlement agreement had not been issued because it wasn't ready yet. In fact, the dischargers and the affected parties were looking at the settlement agreement to update it to make sure that it was consistent with, of course, the new information, as well as making sure we reflect the adequate conversion schedule. At the same time, the purpose of the settlement agreement is to enforce the upgrade of the schedule, not to enforce the order. I discussed, SAF, as discussed in the settlement agreement, public felt that the conservation schedule, conversion schedule at 8.5 years was not, quote, as fast as possible. We explained that that this was already heard at the May 06 meeting. Of course, we tried to keep it focused in this public comment round. And it was it's my opinion that the current conversion schedule is reasonable. Some of the public discussed the cat litter outreach program, specifically discussing measurable goals. As a result, we considered these public comment recommendations and added a requirement to develop implementation goals or work plan to implement this outreach program. At the same time, we also have an annual program evaluation. Triggered bacteria monitoring was also commented by the public. However, this issue was not pertinent to this round of public comments. Actually, this was discussed at the 06 hearing, so we kind of left it at that. The NRDC also commented that staff, the draft order, failed to mention the discussion of this, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's concern, which I discussed in the previous slide. Basically, as noted in an earlier slide, that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife felt that the discharger's policy decision to upgrade to tertiary would have a significant minimization and concern for the sea otter. Many of the public questioned the facility's required level of treatment. Some of the public felt that the discussion of the facility's treatment in the draft order was contradictory or confusing, so I propose the next few slides to talk about that in detail. You know, this clarification, I think, needs to be, we need to make this clarification simply because this language is used in the MPDS permit that you have in front of you today. So it's imperative to make this clarification because as we move forward, I just want to make sure that we're all using the same vocabulary here. So as far as federal secondary treatment standards, it's promulgated by the Code of Federal Regulations. And it addresses technology-based standards for treatment facilities. Specifically, these standards apply to treatment of biochemical oxygen demand, total suspended solids, and pH, and is required for surface water discharges. Our agency is mandated by law to require secondary treatment standards in all MPDS permits. This is what we consider the bottom line. On the flip side, tertiary treatment refers to disinfected tertiary recycled water. Tertiary treatment is identified in the California Code of Regulations and is regulated by the Department of Public Health. In order to produce tertiary treated water, the discharger or the producer must meet certain numeric criteria for total coliform turbidity and disinfection. The use of tertiary recycled water is specific to certain recycled water use types that include food crops where the edible portion is exposed to the recycled water, schoolyards, parks, etc. Furthermore, recycled water discharges are subject to individual waste discharge requirements and not MPDS permits. So taking a look at the comparisons, they are different, of course. Again, just to reiterate, tertiary recycled water is specific to a use type. I discussed in the staff report and the proposed MPDS permit that the discharger governing body has approved upgrade the facility to meet tertiary standards. Again, our agency is only mandated to require secondary treatment standards. This decision by the discharger was made independently and not a result of the proposed waste discharge requirements. There is no scientific evidence that requires a higher level of treatment of the discharge to the ocean to protect beneficial uses. So the order being proposed today has minimal changes from what you saw in May 06. This order incorporates the 2005 Ocean Plan. Before we had references to the 2001, so there were changes, but effluent limitations from what you saw in 06 have not changed. We also incorporated the 2005 statewide template, which changed the format of the order and added a few findings, but for the most part, they're minor. I provide a table in attachment 2 that show these modifications, and I've included everything under the sun, so it has everything of from format changes to substantive changes. The 2008 settlement agreement, obviously I request the Water Board to consider and approve the revised settlement agreement. As I said earlier, the purpose of the settlement agreement is to enforce the schedule for the facility upgrades, since they'll extend beyond the term of this permit and is not intended to drive the enforcement of the order. The marked up settlement agreement is one of the attachments of the staff report. However, I just received earlier this morning a fresh copy, a clean copy that's been signed by the discharger and has a couple blanks for ourselves, for our agency. But it's very close to being done here. So, as I said before, it's a 8.5 year, but they started in November of 05. So, realistically, they probably have about 5.5 years left, which is very close to being within one permit cycle. To continue, here is a very kind of tapered down look at their conversion schedule. As indicated above, obviously the primary activities have been done. They're currently working on environmental review and permitting, and they just released the notice of preparation for their environmental impact review. So today's recommendation, we recommend the adoption of the proposed modified MPDS permit order number R3-2008-0065. And by doing so, you also would effectuate the proposed settlement agreement. Staff also recommends your concurrence with US EPA's determinations, as well as the US Fish and Wildlife concurrence letter. Lastly, we believe that the adoption of a long overdue permit will provide updated environmental benefits. So with that, I'll thank you for your time and consideration, and I'll field any questions you may have. Thanks.
Mr. Shalko.
Yeah, on a clarification, could you put that last slide back up?
Sure.
Wait, on what you're asking us. Now, you said concurrence in the biological evaluation. Don't you mean just accept them?
Yes.
Okay, because I wouldn't like to think that we're concurring in it necessarily.
You would be concurring with, well, the biological evaluation.
Well, actually, the board, that's the U.S. U.S. EPA is required to do the biological evaluation and seek review under Section 7 of the Endangered Species Act, and not the Water Board. It's not a requirement of the Water Board. So it's just information that, of course, you'll consider in this proceeding, but it's not an action that you take.
Any other questions for staff? Okay.
If I could add,
Mr. Briggs,
add something. Dave mentioned that we're left with about 5.5 year schedule. It's actually a little bit less than that. The schedule calls for achieving full compliance with secondary treatment March 31st, 2014, which is 5 years from next March. It actually calls for completing construction, and it says commence debugging and startup 5 years from next month. Mm-hmm. So it's less than 5.5 years, and as you said, almost within the five-year
it's almost there.
Permit cycle. By the time the permit is actually effective, it could be within that five-year cycle. So it's substantially less than the 8.5 years that is commonly referred to. And also, normally we would proceed to the discharger at this point. We'll probably have time, but it might be a good idea, since Dave Licaro is on jury duty this afternoon and must leave or face contempt of court by 1 o'clock, to first ask Morro Bay Cayucas if they have any questions for David, just to make sure we get those in.
Okay.
No, I don't believe we have any questions at this time.
Okay, just want to make sure you had an opportunity.
And what about NRDC, the ARA?
They are parties.
Right.
Good point.
I have no questions right now.
Okay. All right.
All right. It would be time to move on to Morro Bay Cayucas. And as you said in the opening statement, Mr. Chair, the combined group here has requested 40 minutes in total.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Andrea Luker. I'm the city manager for the city of Morro Bay.
I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to address your board, and I'm happy to tell you that I believe our presentation, our combined presentation this morning, will be less than 40 minutes. I'd like to just briefly introduce the rest of the staff that's here today and those that will be presenting. We have Janice Peters, the mayor of Morro Bay, that will be presenting, speaking. Robert Inns, the president of the board of directors from the Cayuga Sanitary District. Bruce Keough, the wastewater treatment plant manager. Dr. Doug Coates of Marine Research Specialists, and Bonnie Luke of Marine Research Specialists. Also here today, not speaking, but available to answer your questions, Robert Schultz, attorney for the City of Morro Bay, Tim Carmel, the attorney for the Cayuga Sanitary District, Bruce Ambo, Public Services Director, City of Morro Bay, Bill Callahan, Cayuga Sanitary District Manager, and Dylan Wade, the Utilities Capital Projects Manager for the City of Morro Bay. While I'm new to the permit renewal process and my role as city manager, I've been following this particular permit process for a number of years. I would propose that reissuing the 301H permit and adopting the settlement agreement is definitely a win-win situation for all parties involved. Reissuance of this permit now will maximize use of our very, very limited staff time on the vital tasks required to complete the upgrade on time. Rather than continuing to divert these resources to the revisitation of issues that have previously been thoroughly addressed in either the original permit application or in subsequent correspondence and hearings. As you know, all the evidence is in, and all the experts have spoken. Continuation of the existing discharge through reissuance of the 301H permit is not likely to adversely affect the marine environment, listed species, or critical habitat. This conclusion has been thoroughly supported and defended in numerous independent evaluations from US EPA, Regional Water Quality Control Board, the National Marine Fisheries, and the US Fish and Wildlife Service, and is based on over 20 years of one of the most extensive monitoring programs in the state of California. However, by chance that we happen to hear new allegations made today, of which the board may be unclear, we respectfully request that you allow Morro Bay's technical experts to address and or respond to those allegations during this hearing today. We are prepared as staff to implement the city and the district's adopted policy and direction to upgrade the wastewater treatment plant pursuant to the 8.5-year time schedule and facilities master plan. We're happy to say we're currently on schedule or actually slightly ahead of schedule, but we will require all the time allocated in the time schedule and settlement agreement to successfully implement the project. As you know, this was a huge financial decision for the council and the district, the largest that they are likely to ever make and certainly the largest in the history of these two communities, a capital expenditure estimated at $28 million. And this decision was only adopted after much professional analysis, extensive public input, and highly spirited debate within the local community. These costs include additional capital expenditures of $2 million for tertiary treatment and $2 million for the continued development and operation of the biosolids composting, because the community believes this course of action is the most protective of the local marine environment. It is important that you recognize and understand the burden to our local ratepayers who are already suffering during these trying financial times. And know the policy adopted by the communities was made only after the knowledge that those tremendous costs would be borne by the ratepayers. In conclusion, Morro Bay and Cayucas have invested tremendous amounts of staff resources in this permit renewal process. We all know there's no reason to delay approval of the discharge permit exactly as specified in the draft order before you and recommended for approval by your staff. Further delays in issuing the 301H permit will pull our limited staff resources from the upgrade project and could potentially derail us from meeting the goals and deadlines towards which we have worked so long and so hard. To expedite this upgrade, I respectfully request that the board members unanimously accept these findings without further delay and reissue the discharge permit without imposing additional conditions or constraints on the discharge. This decision will allow my staff, EPA staff, and the regional board staff to more productively devote their attention to the upgrade itself. I thank you for your time, and I will turn it over to our Mayor Janice Peters.
Good morning, members of the board. I'm Janice Peters, the mayor of Morro Bay. And I'd like to just give you a brief update on what's been happening with the project since it was last before you. We have been investing a great deal of time and effort and our limited resources on this upgrade project, and I'm proud of our progress and urge you to adopt your staff's recommendation about the 301H permit. Morro Bay and Cayucos JPA adopted a policy to voluntarily rehabilitate and modernize our wastewater treatment plant by upgrading to tertiary treatment level in order to provide the maximum benefit to our environment. It's been a positive process. The city and district are actively moving forward on the 8.5-year time schedule adopted in April of 96, even though this permit process has been on hold. The settlement agreement in front of you today contains some original milestones, some of which have already been completed. After extensive public comment, input, and discussion, in September 2007, we adopted a facility master plan developed by Carollo Engineers. In addition to opting for full tertiary treatment, this master plan includes a biosolids composting operation based on our current highly successful composting operation, which is the only one currently operating in San Luis County, and we're justifiably proud of that. Composting and tertiary treatment demonstrate the city's continued proactive commitment to environmentally sound and sustainable practices. These additional environmental features increase the cost of the project, requiring $28 million and increased operation and maintenance costs as well. While the City Council made it clear to our residents and businesses the necessity for this upgrade, it puts a heavy burden on our ratepayers at this time of financial crisis for all of us. The City of Morro Bay has been facing our own financial difficulties for several years now, and we anticipate getting a state revolving fund loan to finance this project. In August 2007, the city adopted a draft revenue program based on a projected loan repayment estimated by Carollo Engineers. On July 1st this year, we implemented a 50% rate increase adopted through a Prop 218 process. It's a credit to our town's environmental consciousness that only 271 people protested this increase. It's anticipated that this rate structure will enable us to proceed with the necessary capital and design expenditures for the upgraded project as quickly as possible. The City of Morro Bay is committed to successfully completing this project in the original 8.5-year time schedule, and we hope to have the support and assistance of your board in procuring funding. Once again, I urge you to accept your staff's recommendation to reissue the 301H permit, enabling us to continue moving forward on our treatment plant upgrade project. Thank you.
Mr. Jeffries? Madam Mayor?
Madam Mayor, Honorable Mayor, you made a statement that you're looking to get funds from the revolving fund.
The state revolving fund, right. Yes.
What happens if you don't?
I'm going to leave that to our staff to discuss because I'm not prepared to address that issue.
I believe at this time we're prepared to find an alternative funding source. We've looked at some other private funding. Our finance director isn't here today, but we have looked at other sources of funding in case that source isn't available.
So you have a plan B?
We do have a plan B.
Okay.
Probably C and D as well.
We're hoping for plan A, though.
And separate question, Madam Mayor. On your biosolids composting mm-hmm. program, are you able to sell or get rid of
Yes, it's being used quite a bit, and Bruce can give you more detail on that as well.
Yeah, we're currently giving composted biosolids away at the treatment plant, and we've been very successful in, we probably have a greater demand than we do a supply at this point.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. You know, some communities have such a problem.
Everybody needs mulch.
Right, everyone needs mulch, but some people have some fear of using biosolids, and I'm just wondering...
We've
why
gotten
that?
Over that.
Yeah.
And it's been very successful.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Robert Enns. I'm president of the Board of Directors, the Cayucos Sanitary District. I've served on that board for the last 16 years. By profession, I'm a general engineering contractor. And yesterday, I had a job walk out at the state facility, the California Men's Colony here. in San Luis, and one of the other contractors there had a licensed, personalized license plate frame with the letters GETRDUN. And it reminded me of the meeting today. Let's get her done. I think we're there. While the environmental concerns have been addressed in independent studies by the U.S. EPA and the U.S. Wildlife Fish and Wildlife Service, Morro Bay and Cayucas, as you've just heard, have completed their facilities master plan. We're currently proceeding with the environmental review. For our part, we're ahead of the 8.5-year schedule that's in the proposal before you. We're getting our part done. I urge you to adopt your staff's recommendation today. Let's get this done. Thanks.
Thank you.
Director Strauss, Chairman Young, members of the board, my name is Tim Carmel. I'm an attorney representing the district. I've done so for about the same amount of time as President Enns. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. Your staff has worked diligently and thoroughly on this project, and I'd like to thank them as well. Back in May of 2006, we had a very long and contentious hearing on this application. Many important issues were addressed. One issue controlled the day. That issue was that the board wanted additional information on biological impacts to endangered species, specifically to the southern sea otter. Since that time, you've received that information, and you have it before you. The EPA's biological evaluation concurrence by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service seemingly had laid that issue to rest. Since that time, the parties have voluntarily chosen to upgrade the plant to tertiary treatment, both to allow for beneficial reuse of water and to do the right thing environmentally. And I think it's really important to note that. The Cayucas community won't be able to utilize this water for decades for physical constraints. Nevertheless, they're going to be paying for it. They're doing so because they feel this is the right thing to do for the environment and for the community that occupies that environment. The settlement agreement is fair and reasonable, and we really request that you approve this application today and issue the permit. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I guess we're going a little bit out of order from the card. Bruce, are you next?
Yeah, I'm okay. Prepared. Chairman Young, board members, Ms. Strauss, this has been a long road to get here, and we'd like to thank both US EPA and Region Board staff for their hard work and patience on this matter. It hasn't been a fun and easy process. Per the instructions from Regional Board staff, it is our understanding that we are here today to look at the new evidence from US EPA and US Fish and Wildlife, present evidence that wasn't presented at the last hearing. Due to our desire to keep our presentation short, we are limiting our technical discussion because of that understanding that the board has already considered the technical issues contained within the draft order and the monitoring and reporting program at the May 2006 hearing. We do have city and district staff and the manager of our monitoring program, Dr. Coates, here today, and we request the opportunity to provide evidence and or testimony if the board chooses to discuss and deliberate upon the technical issues within the draft order and the monitoring and reporting order. We're also here to answer any technical questions on the upgrade project should they arise. You can put the next slide up. The previous speakers have highlighted some of the significant progress the city and district have made on the wastewater treatment plant upgrade project and the major hurdles we still face, most notably the ability to finance this project and its impact on our ratepayers. I'd like to give you a brief update on the environmental review process. The city and district have a consultant under contract at this time, Environmental Science Associates. They issued a notice of preparation for an EIR on October 28th, and a scoping meeting was held in the city of Morro Bay on November 18th. At this time, it's expected that a draft EIR will be released sometime around February 2009. We're excited about moving forward on the next crucial steps for the upgrade project, but cognizant of the many milestones remaining on the critical path to successfully completing the project in the 8.5-year time schedule. Next slide. As noted by David in his presentation, there's three conservation measures included in the draft order. I'd like to give you a brief update on the first conservation measure, which is a public outreach program to minimize the input of cat litter, box waste into the municipal sewer system. I'd like to give a little background that the city and the district have always had pretreatment goals. This isn't a novel approach, I think, for any wastewater treatment plant. The goals were aimed at limiting the input of all pollutants into the sewer system, not just litter from a litter box. The city and the district coordinate, manage, and collaborate with various agencies on pretreatment outreach and education programs. Examples of the city and district's efforts include education and outreach on the fats, oil, and grease program, trying to limit grease into the sewer system, operation of a household hazardous waste collection facility, and working with regional board and integrated waste management authority staff on a potential pharmaceutical take-back program. We recently contracted with a local firm, Barnett & Cox, to assist in the development of the public outreach program for the cat litter. The result was the campaign that you see in front of you right here. We chose to use a little humor to help us make a point about the impact individuals and communities can have upon the environment. Hence, we have Don't Flush the Mush. It was pretty hard to get a rhyme for kitty litter, so they tried, though. To date, we've sent out approximately 7,700 flyers in water bills to both homes in the city of Morro Bay and the Cayuca Sanitary District. We've printed and distributed approximately 100 posters, which I'm going to leave a few here with regional board staff today. And we've put those up at various pet clinics, pet groomers, retail stores, and even the local newspaper, the Bay News, published an article on the campaign. So we're trying to get the message out to people not to flush cat litter. We've conducted site visits at the two vet clinics in the Morro Bay area, and we've performed outreach visits emphasizing pretreatment measures for residential homes to various charitable and community organizations. We are making the graphics available to county stormwater folks so that we can kind of, you know, this is one of our contributions to the stormwater group that meets within San Luis County. So we are making an effort, and, you know, it's just a reminder that, you know, we only have two vet clinics in town, so our outreach programs are fairly limited for city and sanitary district purposes, but we are going to try and reach out to as many vets as we can. And my conclusion would be that that the board members follow their staff's recommendations today and unanimously accept these findings without further delay. Let's reissue the discharge permit and let's move forward and allow district and city staff to emphasize their time on the upgrade project. Thank you.
A couple of questions for you if I could, and I'm going to stop the clock. The 7,700 flyers that you have sent out in bills, is that just a one-time event, or are you going to do that with some periodicity?
I think we'll do this actual flyer probably on an annual basis, and then the city sends out periodic, we like to call them quarterly, but we don't always hit the quarterly mark, but kind of a utility newsletter that talks about collection system issues, water system issues, wastewater system issues, that allows us to update the public on the upgrade process, pretreatment measures that they can do in the home. So it's going to be an ongoing process, and we'll try and get that message out whenever we can.
Okay. It sounds like a good idea to send the flyers out, you know, more than once.
Oh, they'll certainly definitely go out on an annual basis.
Okay. And then the two vet clinics, do you have posters up on their walls or their bulletin boards, or what is the...
The one vet certainly posted the poster. The other one was the staff was going to consult with the vet on staff, but I believe they posted that. And when I was there, we discussed their current practices for cat litter disposal. Both clinics dispose of it into the garbage. They were actually a little surprised that anybody would flush cat litter. And then we talked about... Also, pet medications, what they do with unused medications, and a lot of that was returned back to the vendor, I guess, that the vet was getting that from. So we tried to get that message out as well.
Okay. And where do people buy their dog licenses in the area?
They get them through the county. There's a, I don't know the exact, the county health the dog catcher, basically. But there's a place out on Kansas Avenue here, and we'll also be outreaching to those people, and I plan on going to the Woods Humane Society and the other organizations that have that adopt pets and place them in homes.
Good. Okay, thank you. All right, next speaker. Is it Doug Coates?
Yeah, this is Dr. Coates with Marine okay. Research Specialist. We're the consultant to the city and district, and with me today is Ms. Bonnie Luke, who's our senior marine biologist.
Could you get just a little closer to the
okay. microphone, please? In the interest of brevity, I'm going to be restricting our remarks today to the issues relevant to the EPA biological evaluation and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife concurrence. And we will show that the recent data continues to reinforce the fundamental analyses and conclusions contained within the current version of the draft order. However, if the board revisits their decisions on other technical issues that were addressed in the previous meeting, we request the opportunity to provide additional scientific information, particularly if the board is considering any changes to the carefully thought-out monitoring program or to the conditions specified in the current version of the draft order.